well steeped in prayer. They would have been praying from their childhood. They would have had prayer modeled to them in their homes or in this temple. So they knew how to pray, and they had spoken words of prayer before, and yet they were asking Jesus to teach them to pray in a new way. Maybe we could say in a fresh way, in the way that they were observing Jesus praying. And so in asking Jesus to teach us to pray, they were asking him to add to their understanding of prayer, to bring a depth or new life to what may become more of a ritual habit, to refresh them in their prayer life. And we too can ask this question of Jesus, teach me to pray. Or we might say, Jesus, bring some new awareness to my prayer life. Bring some new refreshment. Encourage me in my prayer life. We would ask this of Jesus, not because we're wanting more of what may have become like a ritual or even an empty ritual, because prayer is meant to strengthen us. It is meant to remind us that we are not alone, and it is to be a resource for our life. So I recognize that we are all very, very different from one another. And like our differences, there are many different ways that we can become alive in God. There are many different ways that we can come to God in prayer, and there are many, many different ways that God meets us. Often one of the challenges to me when preaching is I like to recount a story of my own faith journey, knowing that someone who is listening will think, well, that has never happened to me, or God has never shown up for me in that way. Our faith journeys are not to be compared to one another, but we're invited in to celebrate and to treasure how God is present to us as individuals. We, as you know, we are in the rhythm of summer at the gathering, and we slow down a little bit as people are away on vacation or enjoying the rhythm of summer on a Sunday morning with some families and friends. And for some of us, not for all of us, but for some of us, summer gives us the opportunity to slow down, to follow a different rhythm than throughout the rest of the year. And I think that summer is a good time to ask Jesus, teach me to pray. Not from scratch, but teach me a new way of connecting with the Trinity and finding refreshment for my soul, for our souls. Last week we looked at Psalm 143, where David prayed these words, "Answer me quickly, Lord, my spirit fails. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." Breath prayers was something that I introduced last week, a way of finding solid ground. And breath prayers link our rhythm of breathing into prayer. So with each breath of prayer, it reminds us that we depend on God almost as much as we depend on our breath. We inhale and we contemplate God's word and God's ways, and we exhale and we basically are saying, yes, let this come to completion. So breath prayers are something that we can do anywhere, at the beginning of a day, before a meeting, when we have a moment of pause. For example, we can breathe in, "I find rest," and breathe out, "in your shelter." I can breathe in, "You are my refuge," and I can breathe out, "and my strength." "Peace of God, guard my heart." This morning, I'm going to talk about a couple of other ways that we can pray. In each type of prayer this morning, we'll use words from Scripture as the foundation. Psalm 119, verse 130 reads, "The unfolding of your word gives light." So we are going to use ways of unfolding the word of God to hopefully bring light to our lives. In my prayer life, I hope that light is given to me when I pray. And I hope that I also, as I pray for others, that light is given to them. That light is given to them as a guide, or that light is given to them as a refreshment, or light that pierces the darkness. So praying with Scripture is one of the ways that we can pray. And this is modeled all the way throughout Scripture. Even if you look at Jesus' life, you see Jesus quoting from Scripture through his prayers when he was on the cross. So we know that we are invited to pray Scripture. And when praying Scripture, we are not reading the Bible for information or as part of a study plan, but we're reading slowly and we're paying attention to the text. We are reading for spiritual refreshment and some encouragement. We're being attentive to the words or to the words that God will speak to us, words that will form us and mold us, not words that will inform us during this time of reading Scripture. And as we pray using Scripture, we are listening to the heart of the Holy One within the words and within the images that we find in Scripture. When we're praying Scripture, we are invited to slow down, to slow the pace of our minds and our hands and our feet, to move into a stillness for a minute, for 5 minutes, for an hour, for the afternoon, for a weekend. We read, and then we reread the Scripture, and we read it slowly. And we reread because each time our minds and our hearts will begin to settle into the rhythm, and hopefully something from the text will stand out for us and will bear light for us. So this morning, we're going to practice doing this by praying a portion of 1 Corinthians 13. This text I chose because Terry, as some of you know, had an accident and is at home basically reclined all the time. And in having a different rhythm in our household, it's been important for me to remind myself, what is love? What does love look like all the time? What does love towards Terry look like in this time? I haven't not loved him. I don't want you to hear that. But there has been this reminder of, really, Catherine, this is what love is. This is what you, I, am being invited into in this season. So we're going to look at portions of 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read it once, and then we're going to pause. And then I'm going to read it again, and we'll pause. And then Doris is going to put the passage up on the screen. And I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to read and reread the passage slowly on your own to see what develops in the slow rhythm of reading 1 Corinthians 13. So I begin to read. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I invite us into a moment of silence. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. love never fails. Doris is going to put the verse up on the screen now, and I invite you just to take on the pace of reading this. You may pause whenever you want to while reading and let it settle into you. We'll do this for about a minute. Love never fails. When Jesus responded to his disciples' request to teach them to pray, he began with adoration. He taught them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And we're not going to focus on the whole prayer this morning, but just on the first line. In the beginning of the prayer that Jesus taught them, it reads this: Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.' Or, 'Father, may your name be kept holy.'" Another version reads, "So Jesus told them, 'Pray in this way: Father, help us to honor your name.'" Jesus invited them to begin their prayer with praise of God. And this is a meaningful way for us to pray as well. When we begin our prayers with praise, it allows us to see and name the people, the situations, and the things for which we are grateful. This is not an act of platitude, and it's not dismissing what is challenging for us. What we are doing is we're acknowledging the goodness in the midst of what is going on. To begin our prayers with praise, we can observe what is all around us. We can use nature as a way of being thankful and offering praise. We can recount or we can review our day. We can also begin by naming the qualities and the gifts of God that we have received or that we know of. And again, we can use scripture as a source for our prayers. One scripture that I began our service with this morning is from Psalm 100. And the psalm begins, "Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." And sometimes what I will say is, at the beginning of a prayer, "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I will give thanks to him and praise his name." So I'm telling myself what I will do in days where all is well and full of thanksgiving, and for other days when really I'm intentionally naming things of praise. I don't always want to be thankful, and I don't always have a spirit of thanksgiving. And yet in my lifetime, I have found that this is a very valuable practice in my life. And again, I'm not asking us only to bring praise and thanksgiving to God, because Scripture absolutely invites us to bring our laments and our complaints and our worries and our fears to God, but we're not to do one or the other. In the midst of our lament, we wonder if there's a place where we can bring thanksgiving and praise, where we can be both thankful and grieving at the same time. And there is room for both. Thanksgiving can be part of the solid ground that we are seeking. A few other verses on thanksgiving that you might want to include in your prayer life is from, one is from Psalm 67, where it says, "May the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." And I just love this plural word, peoples. May the peoples praise you. And here I'm joining in with others. I become part of this voice that offers praise and thanksgiving to God. And Psalm 150 invites us to be full participants in our prayers of thanksgiving. It reads, "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sounding of trumpet, praise him with the harp and the lyre, praise him with the timbrel and with dancing, praise him with the strings and the pipes, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him, praise him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And so we're going to pause again to be peoples of thanksgiving. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just on your own, pause and see if you can name five things that you are grateful for, or five attributes of God that you are thankful for. You can use your fingers to see. Can you do that? So we offer up five ways that we are thankful to God. I'll just give you a little bit to do that. Can you name five more? Can you name five more? So I don't do that as a test. I don't do that as pressure. And if you didn't have 15 items this morning, no worries at all. But this is something that I do as a prayer practice. I give thanks. And I ask myself, what else? And then I ask myself, what else? And this slows me down, and it draws me deeper. Not that I mean my thanksgiving is surfacey, but it takes me beyond this. I'm thankful for Terry, Jordan, Mallory, our shelter. And it takes me into looking at, and what else? And what else? And I believe that as we take this as a practice, we begin to see those smaller but really, really important things that we are thankful for. A cup of coffee delivered to us. A kind word from a friend. A cardinal that stays nestled in the heart stone in my garden. Trees in bloom. Love that is felt. So you might consider adding what else to your prayer practice. This is also something that you can do with a friend. You can do this with your children, with your camp staff, with a study group. It is a good way for us to offer praise and thanksgiving to God. And one final prayer practice. As we read the stories of Jesus, we read that he had this continuous, smooth rhythm where you see Jesus going back and forth between people and solitude. It was this rhythm that he took on. There is this Greek word, and I might not be saying it correctly, but it's eremos, which is sometimes translated the desert, but it's not the desert of sand and heat. It's actually the lonely place or the quiet place. And we regularly see Jesus sneaking away to this eremos, to the desert place, to the lonely place, to the quiet place. Luke 5 reads that Jesus often withdrew to the lonely place, to the eremos, and prayed. And he withdrew for different periods of time, sometimes an hour, sometimes an afternoon, and other times we read of him spending a whole evening in prayer in the hillsides. And then he would come back to be. He would come back to be with his community or within his community, to be with the crowds, to be with the people. And this really struck me this week, that Jesus went to the quiet places and then he came back. He went, he prayed, he refreshed, and then he returned to be amongst the people and to continue his ministry. And I'm pretty sure that this spring, I forgot to go to the Eremos. I forgot to go to those quiet places. I just stayed amongst the people and amongst the work and amongst this call that I believe is my call to ministry. And so this was a really good reminder for me of the rhythm that Jesus took on. He didn't live as a monk. He didn't go and stay in a cave all his life. He didn't leave his calling, but he did withdraw. He went. He went to the lonely place, to the quiet place. He refreshed, and then he returned, and he invested. And so another prayer practice that we can have is to find our Eremos, to find that quiet place, and to go there and to refresh, knowing that we will also return to that which God, to that which life calls us. You may already have a secret place that you like to go to, or you might want to spend some time this week thinking of a place where you would like to go to, where you will go with intention to withdraw and to refresh. And again, Jesus modeled different lengths of time for these retreats. So we know that we are not always being called to a full hour, to a full afternoon, or to a weekend away, but we are being invited to withdraw and refresh and then return. I appreciated one author this week who said, "We are wise to use all the portals we have to be with God while waiting in line, at a traffic light, preparing a meal, changing a diaper, walking to the car, or on a walk in creation, standing and looking out the window, driving, or even the minutes of the day or in the hour where we can just take time to pause and to retreat intentionally to say, God, I'm pulling out to be with you, to be refreshed." And then we re-enter. I invite each of us to create and to note these pathways between Jesus and ourselves, where we go to retreat and find refreshment, and we come back. You might want to wonder, where is your favorite place to be with God? Where will you go to have those moments of retreat? And so I encourage myself and I encourage us to visit our Eremos often. And as we go to such places, take with us these words of intention that Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. For God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Let's pray. God, we thank you that Scripture is full and rich. Jesus, we thank you that you modeled to us a life that was really, really full and complex, and that you knew that taking space to be refreshed with God was important and necessary. God, help us to spend some time with you. Help us to know that you can be our refreshment. Help us to slowly wander through Scripture to find words and passages that meet us where we are. Thank you that you come near to us, that you are with us, and that you are for us. Amen.
Please stand with us if you are able as we sing our last song.
Thank you, Rocco and Doris, for sharing your songs and how great it is to sing the words of Scripture. And I leave you with this benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Amen. I'll be here if you'd like to pray. Gloria, I'm wondering if you can put some cookies out on the back table so we can, they're in the kitchen. So we'll mingle together and enjoy some snacks, and help with the chairs would be great this morning. Thanks for being here. Go in God's peace.